Chapter 28.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
The Masters seemed very aware of how difficult the recent transitions had been for both John and Obi-Wan. John would like to pretend that he was good at hiding it, but his increased jumpiness and general air of exhaustion likely made even the attempt pointless. He was doing better than he had been in the days after their flight through the temple. John thought he could almost imagine what it would be like to talk more casually with Master Mace someday. More fear than he expected had eased with time, as they had gone days without being punished for their nightly excursions. John didn't realize how much of him had been waiting all this time to see what Mace did to him in response to a larger wrong. Even before that cursed Ataru class, so much of him had still been holding back, waiting for the fist to come down. But John hadn't just slightly broken the rules. He'd flaunted in the face of them for months, and all Mace had eventually done was sit him down and explain why sneaking off at night had been dangerous. John had spent the entire calm lecture watching Mace's hands. At the end, Mace had sat in silence long enough that John's eyes had reluctantly risen to his master's face. All Mace had said was, "You can do much worse than nightly ill-advised sparring, and I will never intentionally hurt you, my Padawan." Now that the opportunity for Mace to prove his words had come and gone, and John was still undamaged, John almost believed him. In part, John's continued reticence came from Obi-Wan's underlying fears. Master Jin had never outright hit him or caused intentional physical damage in the way Dark Woman had. Obi-Wan insisted that his high rate of injury, resulting from Jin's recklessness and negligence, both on missions and in training, was not the same thing. John would keep his own counsel on that for now. It still didn't make Jin any better of a master, but it meant that what Obi-Wan feared wasn't as obvious as what John feared. Obi-Wan feared disappointing his master enough that he was abandoned again. His friend didn't need to say it in as many words, but John could read him well. Obi-Wan was used to being left behind and discarded when he wasn't good enough, to never quite meeting the bar that others set for him. While things were better for his friend now that they were sharing quarters, John thought that they had also gotten worse in some ways. Obi-Wan seemed to already have internalized that he no longer had one master to disappoint, but two. He was trying all the time to be perfect, a perfect Jedi, a perfect Padawan, a perfect being. The only time he stopped now was alone with John, and occasionally while learning Ceresu with Deppa. And John wasn't sure their masters even knew what was happening. The more John invaded every part of Obi-Wan's life, the more he realized just how many facades his friend hid behind. It wasn't just with his shielding that Obi-Wan was hyper-focused on projecting what others expected. It was in every facet of his person. With their masters, with their teachers, with every person that set foot in the temple, Obi-Wan was going to break at some point. John knew it and could see it coming from a mile away, even if Obi-Wan couldn't. John would cover for him, of course, but he was truly coming to think that he didn't need to. Mace was John's master, not Obi-Wan's, so his opinion didn't matter. And from an outside perspective, it was incredibly obvious how gentle Master Koon was with Obi-Wan. He was mindful of Obi-Wan's space, offered only constructive correction sandwiched in praise, and simply gave him attention in a way Jin never had. While John certainly didn't trust Master Koon entirely, he found it incredibly unlikely that the man would harm Obi-Wan in the way he was fearing. John would watch out for other routes of harm, of course, but it seemed like Obi-Wan needed a push for his own good. And John was happy to play that role, just as he'd done with Obi-Wan's aversion to blasters. Dark Woman had never believed in waiting for a wound to heal before irritating it. A chance practically fell in John's lap. "We thought, now that we've all had some time to settle in, that it was time for a pivotal experience," Mace said solemnly one night, over a quiet but pleasant late meal. John didn't bother panicking, as used to his master's dramatics as he'd become. Lineage recipes. John blinked. The words meant nothing to him. Obi-Wan, however, straightened. His gaze sharpened in interest. John hasn't learned his yet, Obi-Wan asked. John looked between him and Mace, who appeared vaguely rueful. It had slipped my mind with all that was going on, his master admitted. Obi-Wan hummed. Are you intending to teach us in shifts now that we share quarters? Master Coon shook his head. Not quite. Mace and I discussed, and in many ways, we are each responsible for both of you. We settled on asking our master's permission to share the recipes with both of you. Master Tyvaka and Master Saw were delighted by the idea. On one condition, of course. He paused, letting the silence draw out. Abruptly determined to step out of his comfort zone if he intended to force Obi-Wan out of his, John took a deep breath. What condition? He asked quietly. Mace sent him a rush of pride affection down their bond. He ignored the tips of his ears growing hot. That, of course, would be that we cannot share the recipes with our fellow master. Obi-Wan's eyes widened comically. This is quite the opportunity. To learn multiple lineage recipes is something I've never heard of, except in exceptional cases. Don't you think, John? Obi-Wan turned to him. John stared at him, expression flat. I have no idea what a lineage recipe is, he said blandly. He enjoyed the way Obi-Wan's face fell, just a little. Mace snorted and leaned over to casually tug at John's Padawan braid. The gesture had been slowly becoming commonplace, before everything, and John focused intently on not freezing. Once it was over, he noted that there was a warm seed taking root in his chest. How embarrassing. A lineage recipe is something passed from master to Padawan, and so forth, under intense secrecy. It can be any food or drink, though it should be something that is generally enjoyable, Mace explained, which is why Yoda has not been allowed to pass on that horrid swamp stew of his. Obi-Wan laughed, and even John couldn't stop a smile. Mace and I will take turns facing the wall when important ingredients are being mixed, Master Coon said. His amusement was easily felt in the Force. Both of our masters agreed that we can write down the instructions to prevent us overhearing each other, but we must burn all copies immediately. John was intrigued. Obi-Wan took it a step further and pushed back from the table. When do we start? Mace smiled without moving his lips, an expression Obi-Wan must have come to recognize, judging by the way he offered a soft smile of his own. As soon as we clear the plates from late meal. Mace was the one to share first. Our lineage recipe is the pinnacle of the Jogan fruit tart, Mace said solemnly. While many variations of the Jogan fruit tart exist, this recipe was perfected by my 5 times great-grandmaster. It won an award here in the temple, and members of our lineage are occasionally asked to prepare some for special events. Are you prepared for this knowledge? Both John and Obi-Wan nodded rapidly. What followed was the most intense and messy baking that John had ever experienced or witnessed. The steps of the recipe were carefully scribbled down, shown, and then lit on fire. John did his utmost to enshrine every step in his memory. When the tarts were safely in the oven, Master Plo took over. Our lineage recipe is a hot drink, and so secret that I was instructed by Master Tyvaka to only write the name, he said, before sliding over a piece of paper to them. John memorized the name and all of the written steps that followed. As their cooking progressed, John found himself unintentionally relaxing. He could see Obi-Wan was the same. There was just something so domestic, so reassuring about cooking together. It made John feel small in a good way, like he was a part of something bigger. With the drink boiling on the stovetop and the tarts with 10 minutes to go, John concluded that it was time to push, and he knew just the thing. John leaned over and casually rolled his fingers in flour, scooping up just a pinch. Obi-Wan was oblivious, listening to something Master Plo was saying with perfect posture and a serious face. Mace saw him, though, and his expression turned quizzical. John wasn't sure what type of recklessness was fueling him, but he winked back at his master. Mace's eyebrows flew upward. John didn't wait for him to ask questions. He turned to Obi-Wan and tapped him on the shoulder. When his friend spun around, John flicked the flower directly into his face. Obi-Wan sputtered, "John, what?" But, like John had anticipated, the sheer absurdity of the action had startled Obi-Wan enough that his perfect posture dropped. An excellent start. Now to just... Mace responded to his burst of challenge amusement down the bond with aplomb. His master scooped up a bit of Nuna butter onto his finger and streaked the grease down one of John's cheeks. Knowing to expect it, he didn't flinch at all. "I took revenge for you, Obi-Wan," Mace said seriously. Master Plo seemed to need no particular encouragement. "And I will get revenge for you, John," the Keldor said, right before chucking a handful of leftover sugar directly at Mace's face. From there, it was war. A particularly successful one, John thought, as he caught his breath against the counter. The timers they had set were going off, and Mace was carefully removing the tarts from the oven. John's master looked like he had barely survived a bakery explosion, and John knew he looked no better. Master Plo was clucking over a coated Obi-Wan and wiping at his face with a wet towel. "You fought a fierce battle, little one," Master Plo said. Obi-Wan let the Keldor wipe without protest, looking more relaxed than John had ever seen him around adults before. "I can't believe you worked against me like that," Obi-Wan complained half-seriously. "Expect the unexpected," Master Plo said. Mace briefly rested a hand on his shoulder on the way to the table with the tarts. "Well done, my Padawan," he whispered. John smiled to himself. Yes, a job well done. "I think," Plo said, "that we should go into Coruscant for late meal tonight. That would make for a nice change of pace." Things were better, in their suite, since the night they'd exchanged recipes. Some small bit of tension had unwound in all of them. Obi-Wan was less stiff in a way that Plo hadn't even noticed was happening. John was a bit more willing to speak, though he still watched both Mace and Plo carefully every time they interacted with Obi-Wan. Both of the Padawans were less paranoid and visibly less exhausted. There was definite progress, and Plo wanted to continue the trend. Hopefully, an adventure outside the temple could be the perfect opportunity. Obi-Wan and John both looked to Mace first to see whether he approved. Mace shrugged. "I have nothing planned." "Excellent," Plo said. "Do either of you have any restaurants you recommend?" Plo asked the question, assuming an answer to the negative. He'd already thought of and discarded several options before settling on a nice mid-level restaurant that allowed patrons to grill their own dinner in a pit at the table. As expected, John shook his head. But Obi-Wan hesitated. "Little one?" Plo asked. They were all watching him now. "I know a place," Obi-Wan said slowly. "A diner. The owner is a friend." John perked up. "We should go," he said immediately. Plo thought it was endearing how much he sought to understand all of Obi-Wan's life. Plo glanced at Mace. The man looked curious, identical to the way Plo was feeling. He nodded once. "Of course," Plo said. "I am always happy to meet your friends, Padawan." The friend and the diner were not at all what Plo had been expecting. They went further down into Coruscant than he was expecting, in Coco Town. Not low enough to be truly concerning or dangerous, but lower than the restaurant Plo had in mind. Obi-Wan led them easily as if it was a path well-trodden, which Plo found particularly intriguing. The diner that Obi-Wan finally stopped in front of still had signs for a grand opening fluttering in the window, even though the date was almost a year ago and the signs were growing tattered. Dex's Diner spelled the flickering lights. Obi-Wan pushed open the door confidently and stepped inside. The rest of them had no choice but to follow. A droid was manning the front, wearing a name tag that read Flo. Their camera swiveled to scan Obi-Wan before their processors squeaked in something that almost sounded like excitement. "Dex," the droid called, "you have a visitor." Stepping out from the back of the restaurant came a massive basilisk. "Little Jedi," the being called. Plo saw Mace place a restraining hand on John's shoulder as the being rapidly approached Obi-Wan. With his multiple arms, the basilisk scooped Obi-Wan up into a spine-cracking hug. It's been too long since your last visit. Sorry, Dex, Obi-Wan wheezed. Things have been busy. Hmm, Dex said, clearly displeased. Then the being's eyes seemed to focus on the rest of them hovering by the door. He dropped Obi-Wan back to the ground, but slung an arm over his shoulder. And who's this? I spot an even littler Jedi and two masters. Plo was impressed that they were spotted so easily, considering none of them were in robes. But Dex didn't stop there. Where's Jin then? Still brooding? Obi-Wan winced. Master Jin is no longer my Jedi master, Obi-Wan said awkwardly. He waved in Plo's direction. Master Plo has taken over my training. Next to him is my close friend, Padawan John Antilles, and his master, Mace Windu. The Basilisk's expression ran through a few indecipherable emotions before settling on welcoming. Friends of yours are friends of mine. The name's Dexter Jetster, but call me Dex, Dex declared. Hopefully Master Kun will take a bit better care of you than that Jin did, eh? Obi-Wan flushed red and stayed that way until they were all settled in a booth. John and Obi-Wan sat together on one side, facing their respective masters. I'll put your orders in right away, Dex said, with some shakes on the house. But we didn't order, John said, frowning. Dex winked, big and exaggerated. No need to order when I know what you're getting. And then the Basilisk vanished back into the kitchen. You have some interesting contacts, Padawan, Mace said into the silence that fell after Dex's departure. How in the world did you meet such an interesting character? Plo was interested in that as well. Obi-Wan lowered his voice and leaned forward. During a mission, I helped Dex out of a tight spot. He was working counter to the law as a weapons dealer and information broker. After I helped him out of the tangle, he decided to retire from the weapons game and follow his dream of opening a restaurant. He still brokers information, though, and he's an incredibly useful resource to have. Plo blinked behind his goggles. Incredibly useful resource indeed. Obi-Wan had managed to find himself the type of contact that Jedi Shadows would do just about anything to have. I like him, John said decisively. And, as Dex reemerged with three Nerf burgers and another in a box for Plo to eat later in his home atmosphere, Plo found himself agreeing. The Basilisk even brought out a special pouch to allow Plo to sample his shake. Yes, Plo thought, Dex would be an excellent friend to have for all of them. End of chapter 28.